Buckle up, friends, and welcome to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I'm your host, Deb, otherwise known as Mocktail Mom, a retired wine drinker that finally got sick and tired of spinning on life's broken record called Detox to Retox. Let this podcast be an encouragement to you if alcohol is maybe a form of self-care for you, where you find yourself dragging through the day waiting to pour another glass. I am excited to share with you the fun of discovering new things to drink when you aren't drinking and the joy of waking up each day without a hangover. It is an honor to serve as your sober fun guide, so sit back and relax or keep doing whatever it is you're doing. This show is produced for you with love from the great state of Kentucky. Thanks so much for being here and big time cheers. Okay. Hey friends, it's Deb. Welcome back to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I am so happy that you are here and I am absolutely thrilled today. I get to make a new friend with you. We get to make a new friend all together today with Meg Fee, who has joined me in the studio today. And Meg, her Instagram is You Don't Have to Drink and her podcast is More Than Sobriety. Have I got it all right?
Yes.
I don't want to mess anything up. I want to make sure everybody knows where to find you. So we'll have that in the show notes. But I'm so happy you're here. How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I'm a little rusty. It's been a while since I was a guest on a podcast, since I've been getting my own up and running. So I'm excited, I'm a little nervous, but really mostly excited to be here and meet you. I've been, like I said before we started recording, I've been following along with Mocktail Mom for a long time.
This
is really fun for me to get to meet you and have a little chat one-on-one.
Let's have a little girls chat. Yes, I want to hear your story about becoming alcohol-free. I think you and I originally got connected through Kel's is sober. That's her Instagram, yeah. Right? Kelly. So she and I did an Instagram live and I feel like she said to me like, oh, you need to talk to Meg. And that was like in 2021. So here we are 2 years later.
Yes,
I love Kelly. A lot has changed for you. You got married. And now you're about to become a mocktail mom. Is that right?
I am. Yes, I'm about to become a mocktail mom.
I
want to
hear. Oh, okay. So when are you due?
Yes. So, and you're right. A lot has changed. And it was probably around 2021. Kelly and I, we were doing some 1,000 hour dry stuff together. And we still chat from time to time. And she's just amazing. I think she's one of the first people that I found in the sober Instagram world. So I kind of credit that to her, like just opening up this whole space to me. But yeah, since then, like you said, I got married. I was a sober bride, which I never, ever thought would be possible for me. Like I was definitely one of those little girls who always dreamed of their wedding day and definitely thought that alcohol would be part of it. And it wasn't, thankfully. And yeah, and then that was in February 2022. And then my husband and I bought a home, which another thing I didn't think would be possible without, you know, before I quit drinking. And now, yeah, I'm expecting a little baby March at the end of March. So I'm about 6 months now and just a few more months to go. So lots of exciting change over the last 3 years of this sobriety journey.
It's major change. Major. Okay. So when did you become alcohol free? When did you start living an alcohol free lifestyle? Or when were you like sober curious? Did you window shop for a long time? Sobriety?
Yeah. So I first started, I guess, admitting to myself, I think I need to take a look at this probably in 2019. I definitely recognized that alcohol was a problem in my life before that. But I think like many people sort of swept that questioning under the rug as much as possible. And I'm 32 now. So that was like pretty well into my 20s. And at that point, I'd had many, many years since I was a teenager of drinking and binge drinking and partying and all of that. And for a while thought it was normal. Yeah. So 2019 is probably when I started questioning it. That's when if I go back in my phone, you know, we screenshot things that inspire us. And I go back to 2019 and I could see, I don't really recall it happening until 2020, but I see myself screenshotting like alcohol-free posts and stuff like that from bloggers and influencers and stuff like that. So that's been kind of interesting. So I'm like, oh, wait a second. I actually, wow. It looks like I started thinking about it before then. But 2020 is when I really dove in. I think again, like a lot of people, the pandemic, things kind of got worse with my drinking before it got better, before I stopped myself. So was doing a lot of drinking at the beginning of 2020, but definitely exploring window shopping. I like that, as you called it. And it took a while to stick. It took like 3 years for it to stick. I just celebrated my 1 year in September, my full year.
Wow. Happy soberversary.
Thank you. Yeah. And I got very close in 2021. I went almost 10 months and then I slipped. That was right before my wedding at my bachelorette party. But I like to remind myself, I'm grateful that it happened at my bachelorette party and not at the wedding. That's the more important day. And it kind of solidified, like, okay, I'm definitely not drinking on my wedding day. But yeah, so did a lot of long stints of sobriety. And then I feel like now it's finally stuck. Feels different this time around. I talk about slipping a lot on my page because I think it's such a common experience. So I like to kind of normalize that and say, you know, like we hear a lot, it's not a linear journey. Slips don't take away your time before that. And I like to remind myself, remind other people. But yeah, so it's been a little over a year consecutively, but a few years in the making.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, because it's been a long journey. And right, you don't want to take away from the time that you've put in, right? You've put a lot of time. Yeah. A lot of victories along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Every event, every holiday, every whatever is a milestone, whether it's consecutive or not. So yeah, feeling
good. That's awesome. That's so awesome. So you were screenshotting like people back in 2019. And what inspired you to start your own Instagram about not drinking? You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah. You don't have to drink. Like, I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. It was kind of my mantra because the page was called a few different things. I kept changing it. I work in the creative space, brand marketing world, and I really love writing. So I'm kind of always like messing with things. Like once I make something, I'm like, oh, could it be a little different? So I did the same thing with my page. But the question you asked is like, what made me start it? And it's funny because when I opened it, like I said, I was just starting to question, like, maybe I could be sober, maybe I could quit drinking, or maybe at least stop for a little, for, you know, a set period of time. But I opened the account as a health account. Like, I wanted to follow health and wellness. I wanted a different space outside of my personal account to follow and share about this health journey I was kind of on before sobriety even came into the picture. It's funny to me because I thought that I was so healthy. Like, when it came to food and exercise and self-care, but I was drinking so much. And so now I laugh because I'm like, oh my God, who was I opening this page being like, this is my health and wellness account.
Yeah. Come for happy hour.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like wine and yoga. Like, but I ended up very
normal. I don't mean normal. That's still going on today. You see wine and yoga events.
Yes.
It's crazy town.
I quickly stumbled upon the sober, you know, other sober pages. And that sort of like stopped me in my tracks and it shifted. So I was like, wait a second, maybe I need to look at this. And so I really do. I have to credit Instagram as much as I said before, like it's a love-hate thing with social media for me. It's really what opened my eyes to this possibility. So
same. Yeah. I did not. Yeah. It was like, oh, wow. Well, she looks normal. She doesn't drink, you know? I mean, that sounds so silly, but I think because it's so ingrained that it's just like, it's normal. Like, you know, you go out after work and you have drinks, or you meet up and you have a drink, or you bring a drink with you. Yeah. You know, it's just so normalized. Or you go to yoga and then you have wine afterwards. Like, what are we doing?
I know.
You know? And you realize like, wow, there's people who've gotten off the crazy train, you know?
It's everywhere. It's really unavoidable, and you don't really notice it until you stop. Like until you stop and you're questioning it, then you're like, whoa, okay, no wonder I'm brainwashed. No wonder nobody really stops to look at this. It's just everywhere. But yeah, I had that same feeling. Like, you know, I didn't necessarily think I needed to quit drinking altogether or be sober. Like that was never even in my vocabulary. It was more like, I need to look at this and I need to slow down. I need to learn how to drink like a normal person. I need to learn how to pace myself. I need to cut back. And those are all great things to do if you're somebody who can do it. But I quickly realized, like, oh, wait, no, I can't do that. That's actually harder for me than just stopping altogether. So,
you know, it's so interesting you say that, because I was the exact same way. Like, I thought, like, I just want to be able to moderate. I just want to be able to drink, like, have a glass of wine and not be thinking about the next one or thinking about what do I have at home, you know? And I think a lot of women, a lot of people who are listening, men and women, you know, who are listening, maybe are in the exact same boat, you know, right now. It's the beginning of the year, new goals, you know, new, maybe they're doing dry January or, you know, dry February, whatever, dry, maybe taking 2024 off or just trying to take a little break. And it's like, it's okay to just, you know, you don't have to say forever. You don't have to declare sobriety to maybe just take a look at it to evaluate your relationship with alcohol.
Yes. I love that point. I think sobriety sounds unachievable for a lot of people.
Agree.
And it sounds scary and intimidating, and forever is a really long thing. Like, I don't, that's a very long time. I don't even know what forever is. So I totally agree. You don't have to commit. I wrote a post recently and I was like, you don't need to commit to quitting drinking forever right now. Like, just look at it, follow your curiosity, but don't ignore it. Like, don't ignore that voice just because you're afraid of what's on the other side. Because maybe you can, maybe you'll find that you are someone who just benefits from taking a break. That's totally fine. Maybe you find that you are someone who can cut back and moderate, but you won't know until you take a little bit of a hiatus.
That's very true. That's very true. But there's that little voice like you had and I had for years, you know, scrolling, you know, I'd be drinking my wine. I'd be looking at these people like, wow, how does he do it? You know, he hasn't had a drink in 2 years. Like, I just couldn't even imagine, like you said, like, couldn't imagine being at your wedding and not drinking, you know, you can't imagine it. But like you said, like, just follow that curiosity, lean into that and just be like, you know, how, just try it today. Try on sobriety, like, go test drive it. See how it is, you know, or test drive moderating, you know, test drive drinking less.
You know how people say, oh, I practice yoga or I practice mindfulness? I like to say practice sobriety for
That's
a week
so good.
Or two or three. Like, just practice. Give it a shot. Just take the pressure off.
That's brilliant. Take the pressure off, right? There's no, like, you don't have to, like, suddenly take this weighted vest of, you know, foreverness with sobriety. Yeah, I was like you. Like, I would never would have said the word sober. I would have thought, like, why would I say that? I just don't want to drink as much.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way too. And even for people like you and I who have been practicing sobriety for a very, very long time, for several years, whatever it may be, it's still hard for me to look 20 years, 15 years, 5 years into the future and say forever. That's why, you know, they say one day at a time. But I have those moments too where I'm like, I've never been to Italy. How am I going to go to Italy and not drink the wine? But then I'm like, just slow down. Like, I've done so many things without it. Italy is beautiful without the wine.
Yep. Like, and they have a lot of good, good alcohol-free wines there too. Yeah, they have a lot of those.
I did hear that. Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. It's so, I was started laughing when you said Italy only because it's so funny. I think for whatever reason, all of us, we all have this like Italian vacation in our mind. Like, I have the same thing. Like, what if I go to Italy? Like, I want to go to the vineyard. Same thing. My daughter's wedding, which now my daughter's engaged. My 22-year-old daughter's engaged, you know, but it's like, I'm going to bring joyous. Thank you. Thank you. You know, or I'm going to bring, you know, the geese and sparkling brew. Like, I'm going to have, we're going to still celebrate. There's going to still be a celebratory, you know, popping of the cork, but it's just not going to have any alcohol. I'm not going to have a hangover. But all that to say, yes, just take it one day at a time. You don't have to decide now what you're going to do at your daughter's. You're pregnant. You don't need to decide right now what you're doing at your child's wedding, right?
Exactly.
It's okay. There's no pressure.
Exactly. Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. I mean, weddings were so tough at first. Like, I had like 5 weddings leading up to ours in the year leading up to ours, which is like hit that age where we have like
everybody's so getting
many
married.
Weddings. Yeah. And I, at first, was a little shaky, but then now I'm like, I firmly believe they are so much better without alcohol for me. Like, I would be blacked out before the speeches. Like, I, now I get to actually enjoy them and remember them, and it's so much better. So,
yeah. The gift that keeps on giving. Yes. So, finding people on Instagram, I was the same. It was like, that was the greatest thing that ever happened for me on social media was
finding sober people being encouraged. What did you do? Like, not that you have to say the program or whatever. Did you do a program? Did you sign up for something? Because I know there's tons, which I love. There's so many sober communities, alcohol-free communities, or moderating communities. So was that something that you kind of plugged yourself into? I don't know. I'm literally just asking you.
Yeah. So 1,000 Hours Dry was one of the first pages I stumbled across. And I like threw myself into that community. I always like to caveat for people now, like 1,000 Hours Dry it's not what it was when I found it. At that point, it was much more of an active challenge and community. And now they still have the page for inspiration and all of that. But when I found it, there was a lot of people involved and daily encouragement, daily prompts. It's a 42-day challenge is what it was created to be. And that seemed like the longest. That like 42 days was like, oh my God, that's a lot of time. So I did that. And then I ended up becoming a host, like one of the co-hosts for the page, and connecting with Kelly and Kevin, like the Sober Ginger.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
On Instagram. And so many other people that still connected with now. And there were group chats, you know, on and off Instagram group chats. And so that camaraderie and like collective mission was, you know, everyone likes to be part of a team. And that's how it felt. And the accountability of like showing up and posting and encouraging other people and encouraging each other, like that was really, really helpful. So I did that and then slipped, you know, found myself slipping. I think it was like the summer or the fall. And we got engaged. That's what it was. And, you know, everybody wants to throw alcohol at you when you get engaged. So I kind of like stumbled a little bit and I was like, oh, wait a second, I might need more support. So I tried on AA meetings and then I ended up joining Tempest, which is like Holly Whitaker founded originally.
Okay. Yeah.
So I read Quit Like a Woman by her and then realized, oh, she kind of has like a program community, and went to meetings and they have a whole like 4-week intensive. So I did that. I tried anything I could, really. That's another thing I always tell people too, like try whatever, try
everything. I agree. Mm-hmm.
So that, and then I really did try. The Monument is another. They've actually merged with Tempest now, but they were separate at the time. I went to their meetings. And so just tried a whole bunch of things. I'm also in a local group called Sober IRL here.
I love that IRL.
And it's cool to have people near you because everything with the pandemic was virtual. And I think it's amazing. And I love virtual meetings, but it's nice to have people close geographically if you need some in-person.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So yeah, done a lot.
Love that. Okay. So I was in a sober community when I first started and there was a gal locally and we met up IRL. She's like, oh, do you want to meet IRL? Like everything was virtual though, right? And I was like, oh, sure. I had no idea what IRL meant. And all I could imagine was, you know, like those little like bumper stickers and it says IRL, like for Ireland. And I was like, what does she mean? Like, are we meeting for like Irish food? What are we doing? You know,
what is happening? Are we on a plane to Dublin right now?
Yeah, where are we going? Are we having a Guinness? What's happening here? So yes, IRL in real life. For those of you who are listening to the podcast who are over 50 like me and have no idea what that means. Sober IRL. That is so cool. I love that. Okay, as you guys know, I love Giessen 0% wines. Their Sauvignon Blanc is my go-to on a regular basis, but they recently launched a delicious sparkling Brut 0%, which is quickly becoming a fan favorite. I am so proud to have Giessen as the exclusive non-alcoholic wine sponsor of the Thriving Alcohol-Free podcast. Giessen 0% wines are created through the magic of advanced spinning cone technology to remove the alcohol from their full-leaded wines. The award-winning winemaker Duncan Schuler and his team have done wonders in Marlborough, New Zealand by creating an entire family of 0% wines with all the flavor and deliciousness you expect from traditional, quote, full-leaded wine. Their non-alcoholic wines maintain the aroma and the body to create a low-calorie wine that never contains more than 0.5 ABV. Globally available, look for Giessen 0% wines wherever you shop for your non-alcoholic options. Their family of alcohol-free wines include the most effervescent member of the family, the Sparkling Brut 0%, which is absolutely delicious for any celebration. My personal favorite, although I do love them all, is the Sauvignon Blanc, coming in at only 100 calories for the entire bottle. And not to be missed, the other members of their 0% family, the Riesling, the Premium Red Blend, the Rosé, the Pinot Gris. With Giessen 0% Wines, there's a de-alcoholized wine for everyone and every occasion. Give Giessen a try and let me know how much you love it. And if you want to meet their winemaker, go back to episode 33 of the podcast where Duncan Schuller joined me to share about the Giessen story. Yeah, I think like what you said, Meg, is just like try on different communities, you know, try on different programs, find what works for you, whether it's AA or it's a virtual meeting or it's an in-person meeting or it's just connecting, but find your community. You'll feel encouraged. There's people who you're going to feel so encouraged by. Yeah. Yeah. So find your people.
Yeah. And people, I used to hear that like community makes sobriety easier and you have to find community. And I was like, what is this community that everybody's talking about? Like once you try meetings, try groups, it doesn't have to be that. That's another thing that meetings sometimes I think scare people because they picture something in a church basement, you know,
Dark basement, stereotype. Yeah.
And that's not how it is anymore. I'm here to say, like, not at all. And you'll find friends through these groups and these meetings or these book clubs. And like you said, there's so much now. You just gotta find it.
It's amazing how much is out there. I mean, right, men's groups, women's groups, co-ed. I mean, yeah, I love it. I love that there's so many opportunities and that sobriety is becoming normalized. Like you don't have to go to you can go to a meeting. Like I'm nothing against it, but like you can go online to something or, you know, connect with people. So yeah, I had no idea how vital that was. It's been everything. So, okay. So you started a podcast. Yes. More Than Sobriety. I love it. You're good with the names.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually worked with a spiritual business coach. Like she's interesting. But she helped me come up with that name. She was like, what would it be? And I think Beth Bowen, I was on her podcast and she was like, what would your memoir be? And these questions got me being like, I think it'd be More Than Sobriety because it's kind of cheesy, but there is so much more than just putting down the drink. There's so much more that's come with it for me. I talk about how it has overlapped with, I struggled with an eating disorder for a very long time. And cannabis is another topic that I talk about a lot, and THC use. And so there's just like a lot that's not even specifically related to alcohol that has kind of come to the forefront in my life, or that I've had to work on addressing my mental health, anxiety, depression. And so I'm just more than all of that stuff. So I want to bring in other topics to the podcast at some point. It's very focused on sobriety so far, but I want to expand a little bit and talk about other topics. And so that's why it's called that.
Well, yes, you start at the sobriety. Now you're going to go to the more part.
Exactly. Yeah. Baby steps.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. And it's like just to be able to share, and that it's like putting down that one thing is not everything, right?
Yeah.
So what things have come into your life that you didn't expect? What's part of the more since putting down the alcohol?
Yeah. I think, like I said, the first thing, as soon as I started taking a break from alcohol, I realized I still had a lot of work to do. I think I was like 28-ish at the time, and realized I still had a lot of work to do when it came to addressing my disordered eating. And kind of going back to how I'm like, oh, I'm health. I'm the definition of health and wellness, but some of my habits that I had since a teenager around food and body and exercise, as soon as I removed alcohol, which was one big coping mechanism, I realized very quickly that food and exercise and control over my body was another coping mechanism, you know, controlling how I look, what I ate. And that was like a couple of weeks into, I think I hit like 2 weeks alcohol free, and I was already like, ooh. The way that I journaled about it, when I look back at my journals, I kept saying, I think my eating disorder is back. But now it never went away. I was just sort of using alcohol as another distraction from it. So true recovery from all of that disordered eating has come into my life since. And quitting drinking has been the best thing that I've done for that recovery journey, I would be in a very different place with food and body if I was still drinking, because it just overlapped in so many ways and they both fueled each other, those problems. So it's a tricky topic to talk about, but I think a lot of women especially can relate and have some, whether, again, it's like, you don't want to say addict or alcoholic or, you know, I struggle with an eating disorder. It's kind of a scary word, but I think we can all relate to having a little bit of friction with food and body. As women in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always comparing ourselves, always feeling. Yeah, absolutely. That's so important, Meg. So important. So many women are struggling with exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. It's really important to shine a light on that, to talk about it.
Yeah. And like I said, it's kind of hard to talk about, but people get a little bit like nervous about it, I think, or they're like, oh, no, that's not me. But I mean, same thing with alcohol, right? Like none of us want to look under the rug, but that and then cannabis too was something that I had used since I was a teenager. Pretty much around the time I started using alcohol, cannabis was kind of in and out of my life. And I started leaning into it more heavily when I stopped drinking, kind of as a crutch. And quickly was like, wait a second, this is a problem too, I think. So now I've also quit cannabis and starting to talk a little bit about that. I think I'm on like 250 days or something for that.
Wow, that's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I also say, like, even though I'm pregnant, that doesn't mean the cravings or like the urges go away. And I think that's another scary thing that people don't want to admit, but I know plenty of women who have had the odd glass of wine while they're pregnant. And I think it's more relatable than people like to believe. So just all of these topics are like,
yeah,
just a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you handle the cravings or the urges, like when they do come, like when you're thinking like, okay, it'd be really nice to have something right now?
Yeah. Usually texting a sober friend. Mm. You know, I have like 3 or 4 girls on speed dial.
Yeah. Good. That's so key. That's so good.
Yeah. One of them is also pregnant. And for the last couple of days, actually, we've been going back and forth like, ugh, this is so annoying. Just normalizing it, being like, ugh, what is this? We don't have to act on it. And just like talking to each other and having someone who gets it and is not judging you is huge. So usually that fixes it, or hopping on a meeting. I did that last night, just listening in, and you're reminded of, you know, why life is so much better without it and why you don't need it. So definitely texting a friend and meetings are
That's always huge. Really helpful. Yeah. I think like what you said, like somebody who just gets it, you don't even have to explain it. And that was how like I felt when I first met other sober women who were exploring their relationship with alcohol. It was like, oh, I'm not the only one. Like, you know, like I'm sure like right now you're like, I'm not the only pregnant woman thinking like, I'd really like some, you know, something to drink right now or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, to have that is invaluable. Absolutely.
Yes. There's always that instant connection. Like, are we best friends now?
Yes, we are. Yes. How does it feel to be free from the alcohol and from the eating disorder? Or what do you call it exactly? Like, do you say eating disorder? How would you say it?
Yeah, I say eating disorder. I say disordered eating because that's a little softer. Sometimes people can relate more to it. But I mean, it's everything. It's hard to even put into words how much of my life used to revolve around drinking and planning my next drink or making up for mistakes that I made when I was drinking or asking people if I have a problem or counting calories or exercising to work off this food I ate. You know, it was both of those things were so, they just ran my life. And there's so much space, like it opens up so much space in your life when you finally let go. And it's a process. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like it's like, just turn it off.
Right. Yep.
It is so freeing and it's like a weight lifts. Like there were times where I did not like myself when it came to the end of my drinking or my peak of my drinking. And now it's like, I'm content with myself and I'm at peace with myself and I know who I am and I'm not questioning myself all the time or feeling like I have two different personalities. There's like this drunk version of me and this other version. And it just feels so calm and peaceful now. And sure, like you'll have the odd day or night where you're like, ugh, I have FOMO. I wish I could.
Yeah,
especially like you said, during the holidays, certain times of year, certain events. But overall, like nothing can outweigh the freedom that comes with this decision and the work that goes into it. So it feels good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, to take off, put down that weight, you know, all the headspace that it takes up and all the noise. It's like to be at peace, like you said, with yourself and to just feel like that quietness. Okay, Miss Meg, when you're not drinking, what are you drinking? Do you have like a favorite mocktail or do you have a favorite non-alcoholic beer or wine? What is it that you drink? Before I let you go, I do want to touch on that.
Yes, I was prepared for this question. So okay. my absolute favorite, I like to keep it simple. I love that you do that too. You're always like, this does not have to be complicated because everything looks so complicated.
Seriously, everything on Instagram is so perfect. It's like so perfect. I'm like, and here I am in my robe. Like, okay, let's throw something together.
Like, yeah. Seriously. No, it's great. So I like really simple things. And my everyday go-to is a mixture of seltzer and kombucha. I'll just do like one part kombucha, usually a fruity flavor and a fun seltzer flavor. And that's like cheap. It's accessible. You could find that anywhere. Yeah.
Yep.
But when it comes to the fancy stuff, I really love Tilden, the brand. Mm. I don't know if you've tried them yet.
I don't think
so. So good.
What is it?
It's a non-alcoholic cocktail ready to drink.
Okay. I love a good RTD.
Yeah. They're really, really good. They have two flavors right now. And the lace wing flavor in the green bottle is my hands down favorite thing I've ever tried. And other ready to drink, I like Gia. I like Flyers. And then I don't really drink too much non-alcoholic beer. I was never a huge beer girl. The non-alcoholic spirits, I get a little bit nervous about too, because I'm like, oh, I have to mix this. And then is it going to taste like alcohol? So I don't do too much of those either. But NA wines, I do like. I like Starla, Naughty. I had at my wedding. Like you said, it's nice to have like bubbles for celebration, and Null wines is not, there's so many.
So many now. Yeah. There's so many now, right? Like a couple years ago, there weren't that many.
Yes.
There weren't that many non-alcoholic.
They're
everywhere.
Day.
Yeah. It's so great. It's so great. I feel like we're like in the candy land of, you know, non-alcoholic drinks, like the RTDs, ready to drinks. Actually, Lily said to me, my 16-year-old said to me last night, because we have two little beverage refrigerators with like, I keep cans in there and different stuff. And she's like, oh, she was drinking one of my kombuchas. And it was the second one she's drinking. And I was like, you're drinking my kombuchas. And she's like, well, we don't have any more. We need more RTDs.
Yeah.
She said, I'm like, I got to go to the store.
Same. I need more RTDs.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves, even like Zevia. She likes the Zevia. She'll drink those cans, which not that that's like an RTD, but you know, just the little pop open a can and have something is nice to have. So it's Tilden. What is it? The Tilden you called it? What's it called? The one that you really like?
I've never heard of it. Yeah, it's called Tilden. The flavor I love is Lace Wing.
Lace Wing. Okay.
Yeah. It's one word, Lace Wing. Just spelled like Lace Wing.
I'll have to check it out.
They're simple ingredients. You just pour it. No mixing. Sometimes, because to make the bottle last longer, I'll like mix it with seltzer.
Yeah,
mix with seltzer.
Yep.
But it doesn't need anything. And it also doesn't have any, you know, a lot of the brands that are popping up now, which are also amazing, are CBD and nootropics and ashwagandha and all of these like adaptogens and crazy ingredients that people are probably like, I don't even know what this is. So what I love about Tilden is they don't have
any. It's just a ready to drink. Yeah. It's just a drink. Yeah.
So don't worry about like whatever this has in it. So I really love them. I actually had one of the founders on my podcast. And
oh, cool.
They're great. Couple of gals that founded it. And
oh, wow,
but like you said, there's so much to explore. Like,
yeah. So many good things to drink when we're not drinking. Yeah. Okay, Meg, it was so fun to meet you today. Thank you for coming on Thriving Alcohol Free. Thank you for coming on my podcast. Love chatting with you. I really mean it. And I just encourage everybody to follow you. You Don't Have to Drink is Meg's Instagram, and her podcast is More Than Sobriety. So check her out in all the places. Thank you. Thank you. Big time. No, cheers. Yes. To you and your baby.
Thank
March
you.
Thank 2024. You. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was great meeting you.
Big time cheers to you for tuning in to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I hope you will take something from today's episode and make one small change that will help you to thrive and have fun in life without alcohol. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social, send up a flare, or leave a rating and a review. I am cheering for you as you discover the world of non-alcoholic drinks and as you journey towards authentic freedom. See you in the next episode.